Issues Etc. returned to the air on June 30th after being canceled by the previous leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod during Holy Week of 2008. For a special 10-year anniversary donation of $100 or more, we'll send you a CD of Issues Etc. listeners' top 12 hymns. You can make an anniversary gift online at issuesetc.org or by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and afflicted.
It can be confusing, especially for little children that think in very concrete terms. What they see in front of them, what they see with their eyes, and what they can perceive with their senses is real. And if something doesn't seem to jive with that, if something doesn't seem to match up with that, that must be, well, at the very least, unreal, or maybe not important at all. And when Jesus says, as he holds bread and as he holds wine, this is my body, this is my blood, how do we explain that in a way that children can understand, not only that they can understand, but also so they might believe it rightly as Christ instituted his Lord's Supper? The Lord's Supper has something to say, even to little children. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday afternoon with Pastor Tom Baker. We're going to talk about Jesus giving the Lord's Supper in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Pastor Tom Baker is a regular guest and host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
I remember an experience preaching at a congregation, not my own, once, and after the service, it had been a service where the Lord's Supper was celebrated. A parent with a small child came up to me and they said, "Well, Pastor, my son has a question." And the question that the young man had, he was probably 8 or 9, was, "You said that that was Christ's body and blood, that that bread and wine were Christ's body and blood." Now, the father had already assured the kid that it wasn't, but I had to disagree with the father and say, "Well, yes, it is. I meant exactly what I said." How do we explain, especially to small children, that with that bread and wine, there also comes Christ's real body and blood?
Yes, you made a very good distinction in that last statement you made. With that bread and wine comes the body and blood. Roman Catholics believe it actually transubstantiates. That means it changes into Christ's body and blood. We do not believe that. We believe rather than just getting two elements, his body and blood, we get four elements, his body, his blood, and also the bread and the wine. Now, the way I like talking to children in trying to explain something as deep as that, I try and use an analogy, and hopefully it's one from the scriptures. And the one I enjoy using, and it depends on how old the child is, but if he's ready to ask that question, he probably has heard about Moses on Mount Sinai and the burning bush. A burning bush was there, and God spoke from the burning bush. In fact, Moses had to take off his shoes. And I would ask the child, "Do you think that God is a burning bush?" And he says, "No, but somehow he was in with and under that burning bush in a holy way." So that similarly, Christ's very body, which he has given for us, and his blood shed for us, is in with and under the bread and wine in a holy way. And I would give them other examples. And remember, I'm just borrowing from Chemnitz here. He talks about how in the wilderness, God led the people by a pillar of fire at night and a cloud during the day. Well, is God a pillar of fire? Or is God a cloud? No. But he was in, with, and under that in a very miraculous way, leading the people through the wilderness. And in the New Testament, and there's many others, but the one I like using is at Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit appears in the form of a dove. Now, is the Holy Spirit a bird with feathers? No. But he had chosen to appear in the form of a dove and come down and light upon Jesus. Therefore, we can say that in, with, and under the form of that dove was truly the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we would use analogies like that that perhaps they're more comfortable with in order to move them to the serious situation that Jesus' body and blood is in, with, and under the bread and the wine.
The institution of the Lord's Supper is recorded by three gospel writers. Then it is also recorded a fourth time, in this case by St. Paul in 1 Corinthians. The fact that it is recorded that often in Scripture, what does that tell us?
There are a number of items that are recorded almost in all the Gospels. I'll just name two of them. The feeding of the 5,000 is mentioned in all of them, and that's because in this week's Gospel reading, Jesus is walking on the water to the boat, which is almost sinking. He gets into the boat with the disciples, and the storm ceases. And the very next verse says, they did not understand the bread. Now, they're not talking about any bread that was in the boat, but the feeding of the 5,000. The disciples, when they saw Jesus feeding 5,000 people with just a little bit of bread and fish, jumped to the conclusion, like the rest of the people did, that Jesus was going to be a bread king, a temporal king, even though he makes it clear, my kingdom is not of this world. They missed the sign that the feeding of the 5,000 was another sign that Jesus was the Messiah. The other one that I got caught on once, I was asked by James Veltz, how many times does the grave of Jesus, how many times is it mentioned that it is that of Joseph of Arimathea? I thought it was mentioned maybe in two Gospels. No, it's in all four Gospels. Now, why is that? Because very soon afterwards, the unbelievers were saying Jesus really didn't die. He only appeared to die. But by being buried in a tomb for 3 days, there was no doubt that Jesus really died. So, what can be more important than the sign that Jesus gives each of us that our sins have been forgiven and heaven is our home than the Lord's Supper? Jesus makes it very clear in these gospel readings about the significance of the Lord's Supper. Because what he is saying to them is that this is the new covenant, the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Now, what does that mean? There was another blood of the covenant. It's found in Exodus chapter 24, where the people sacrificed animals, and the blood of the animals was put over the altar and over the people. But here's the promise the people made. All the things God has told us, we will do. That's called the Old Covenant because nobody was able to do them. They all sinned. When Jesus uses the Passover in order to distribute his true body and blood, he refers that as the New Covenant. And the best way to explain to children is your parents can tell you, okay, we're going to go to McDonald's if you clean your room. Now, your mother comes in and says, we're going to go to McDonald's whether or not you clean your room. And you can point out to them that what your father said is something you must do before you go to McDonald's. Whereas what your mother said, she's going to take you to McDonald's whether you do something or not. And that's the difference between the Old Covenant, where we have to do something in order to be right with God, and the New Covenant, where Jesus does it all. He forgives our sins. He dies for our sins. He dresses us in his robe of righteousness. And so the significant thing about the Lord's Supper is, and this is a little difficult with children because they haven't been confirmed and are not receiving the Lord's Supper. So when you tell them that this is a way that God has promised to forgive their sins and they ask you, well, I'm not receiving the Lord's Supper, then you go back to their baptism, where God clearly says that when you were baptized, he made a promise that baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it means you don't have to do anything in order to be part of God's family. You were adopted into the family and promised that heaven is your home. So in answer to your question, I would try and use simple analogies that the children are already familiar with or something from their own life to try and describe what God is speaking in his mysteries.
It is also a connection to the Passover. You mentioned the Old Testament connections there a moment before, but go into a little more depth on the Passover connection, because it is on the occasion of the Passover celebration that Jesus institutes this supper for us.
Yes. The Passover was the final plague that God had brought to Israel, and it was the death of the oldest male. And by the way, in the family, that meant human or animal. But you could have the angel of death pass over your house if you took the blood of a pure lamb and sprinkled it on the doorposts and the lintel. And then the angel of death would pass over. That's how we get the word Passover for what was happening. But it shows significantly that it was necessary that blood be shed. Well, in all the sacrifices of the ceremonial laws where blood was shed, this was always pointing forward to the Messiah who would come to shed his blood, which of course is taught in Psalm 22, pierced in hands and feet. That was talking about the crucifixion. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all in Isaiah 53, and by his stripes, shedding of blood, we are healed. So, how does God take what happened to Jesus on the cross and transfer it over to us? He does it in two significant ways, by means of the Word and by means of the sacraments. What do I mean by the Word? From Romans 10, by hearing the Word of God, they received faith. When you receive faith, God is declaring you sinless and holy in his eyes because of your forgiveness. But a lot of times people don't want or unable to rely on their faith because it's so weak. They continue to sin. So God has given us two signs. One, assuring us that we have been brought into his family. That's baptism. And the other one, assuring us that we remain a member of his family. That's the Lord's Supper. So when we take the Lord's Supper, we are therefore having transferred to us the benefits of the body crucified for us and the blood shed for us. And baptism is even so also said, Romans 6, we are buried with him by baptism, so that as with him, we also will be risen from the dead. And so we want to keep helping the children see the significance of the events in a divine worship service, because they're pointing back to the Passover when they were relieved from Egyptian slavery. And when we take the Lord's Supper, we are relieved from demonic slavery. We are redeemed. And that's the name of Jesus for this Sunday. And it's referring to the fact that he buys us out of slavery.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus giving us the Lord's Supper. Here's just a bit of what the Growing in Christ curriculum for this very lesson has to say near the end. It says, Each time we receive Holy Communion, we partake in the true crucified and risen body and blood of the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. God's Holy Spirit prompts us to receive this salutary meal, and by it, God will sustain us in faith until he completes the work he began in our baptism and takes us to our heavenly home. The true assurance of Christ's body and blood in the Lord's Supper, explained in a simple way there for the children to understand in this Growing in Christ Sunday School curriculum, Christ-centered and cross-focused in every lesson. Find out more about it by going to our website, issuesetc.org. You'll find it under the Listen on Demand page. Or call Concordia Publishing House, and they'd be happy to send you a free sample of Growing in Christ so you can see for yourself. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. When we come back, we'll talk about how to prepare the Sunday school children to think and to respond when they hear other Christians say that this isn't Christ's body and blood, but merely represents them. Stay tuned. You can meet and hear Anthony Esselin, John Warwick Montgomery, Ryan Anderson, Bev Yonke, Mark Kaltoff, and Chris Roseborough at the 2018 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 9th and Saturday, November 10th in Dallas, Texas. Early bird registration is $110. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 9th and 10th in Dallas.
When you pray, give us this day our daily bread. What do you mean by daily bread? What do you really need to live? If you've ever puzzled over questions like these, you won't want to miss the August issue of The Lutheran Witness. With articles on downsizing, giving, and yes, what we mean by our daily bread, you're sure to come away with a more biblical view of wealth and poverty, possessions and generosity. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
The people of Zion Lutheran Church, East Moline, Illinois, invite you to discover the blessings that await you here. At Zion, we proclaim a gospel of free grace for all. No one ever falls too low to find forgiveness and peace with God in Christ Jesus. To learn more, visit us at zionem.com or join us on Sunday at 9 a.m. Zion is located at 17618 Hubbard Road in rural East Moline, Illinois.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
We're talking about Jesus giving the Lord's Supper as we teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel here on Issues Etc. A little bit later, we're going to be talking with Dr. Ryan Anderson, U.S. Attorney Jeff Sessions announced that the U.S. Department of Justice is going to create a religious liberty task force. Is it necessary? And why does most of the press that I'm seeing on this put that term religious liberty or religious freedom in scare quotes? We'll talk about that with Dr. Ryan Anderson of the Heritage Foundation in the last few minutes of Issues, Etc. Pastor Baker, give us some help and instruction, for especially for teachers of these Sunday school kids, about how they ought to think and respond to Christians who don't believe that when Jesus says, "This is my body, this is my blood," he means that, but he means rather, "This only represents my body and blood."
Luther had a debate with those who did not believe it was a body and blood, and he wrote in the dust of the table, "Hoc est corpus meum." That is Latin for "this is my body." In fact, one of my listeners to Long Gospel is a truck driver, and he had that inscribed on his truck. He sent me a picture of it, "Hoc est corpus meum." And he was telling all the times truck drivers would ask him, "What does that mean?" And he was able to explain. So if you're in a, say, a Baptist church who do not believe it's the body and blood of Christ, they say you're only receiving bread and wine. If you're in a Roman Catholic church who do believe that you're receiving the body and blood, but not the bread and wine, then both of those would disagree with 1 Corinthians 10, which says, "Is not the bread we break the body of Christ? And in the cup we drink the blood of Christ." So the Bible mentions all four. And there are a number of ways in which you can show something in with and under that you're unaware of. For example, how many times has your mother made some cookies and one day they taste different than another day? And you ask her, "Why is that?" And she may say, "Well, I used a different kind of flour, or put some different chocolates in it, or it's got some peanut butter in it." And you look at the cookie and you can't see those items, but you believe your mother that in, with, and under her cooking, she included these ingredients, and that's what makes it taste good. So also, in, with, and under the Holy Supper, God included the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. Now, we're not cannibals. We're not eating it in that sense, but we're receiving it in, with, and under the bread and wine in a very similar way that when the children were baptized, they received something within them. Peter says it at the end of the Pentecost sermon. "Be baptized, you'll receive the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit." And that's why I always enjoy teaching adult Bible class to Christians, because a lot of times I can say things they've never heard of, but I know they're going to agree with me when I point out the Bible basis, because they have already received the Holy Spirit, who therefore teaches them that what is in the Bible is accurate and true.
So how do we explain to them why, in the case of the younger children, the uninstructed, perhaps even those who are even younger, they are not receiving Christ's body and blood on Sunday morning? That's going to come up, I imagine, in the Sunday school class.
Yes. Again, an analogy. You ask any of the children, "Have you ever gone into the bathroom and you open up the mirror and you see all those bottles of pills? You don't know what they are. They may be for a headache or a stomach ache or for a backache or this kind of thing. And when you go in there, you just open them up and you eat all the pills?" And hopefully the child will say, "No, mommy and daddy says that I should not eat those because that's not what they are for." And I said, "You have now given me the answer why children don't receive the Lord's Supper at an early age, because they do not yet know what it is for and what it is." And that's why we have youth confirmation, to teach them that the Lord's Supper is more than a piece of bread and a sip of wine. It is also the body and blood of Christ, and we use Bible verses to explain it. And I might even turn to 1 Corinthians 11, where there were Christians who did not understand how to properly receive the Lord's Supper. Some of them were even inebriated. And guess what happened to them? Some of them got sick and some of them died. And so it's not that we don't consider you as a little child to be saved and forgiven and a child of God, but the Lord's Supper needs to have some understanding. And until you're taught that and agree with it, then you shouldn't receive it so you do not hurt yourself. And any congregation that has open communion, that means anybody can come forward, is a congregation that does not love people. Because the scriptures are very clear that unlike baptism, where you just have to have the desire to be baptized, the Lord's Supper, you need some knowledge about it and understanding before you're able to receive it appropriately, in the same way that you need that understanding before you take certain medicine.
Another practice that has become quite common is, and I think this is a salutary thing, that when the parents approach and the older children approach the Lord's Supper to receive it, sometimes the smaller children are brought. Often in our church, it's infants in arms and little toddlers, or the whole family comes together to the Lord's Supper, and the child receives a blessing. I often say this when I bless the children, after saying that the body and blood are for the forgiveness of sins. I say, the same forgiveness of sins is yours in the water and word of your baptism. What should they understand that they are receiving there, along with the when their parents are receiving the Lord's Supper?
They should understand that there is no distinction, not only between male and female, Greek and Jew, slave and free, but adults and children. In other words, when a person goes to the Lord's Supper, they do not receive more forgiveness than those who don't come to the Lord's Supper, because the Lord's Supper is a matter of assurance that adults can understand. And at this time, that's very good what you say, reminding them of their baptism. I might start using that in those churches where the children are brought forward, because there's nothing they receive in the Lord's Supper, the benefits of, they had not already received in infant baptism or whenever they were baptized. And we're always trying to remember your baptism. In fact, a lot of churches give candles out when a child is baptized, and that reminds them of their baptism. One of the things I really try and get people to understand is, if someone asks you, are you saved? Don't answer, I was baptized. Answer instead, I am baptized. Because that indicates you remain a child of God with all the promises from God. And so I think what you were saying there, Pastor, about talking to the children about their baptism is a really good idea, and I might start borrowing that.
Finally, then, what is the simple law and gospel of these accounts of our Lord instituting the Lord's Supper in those three gospels?
Yes, once more, the Concordia Publishing House does a good job on that, on their instruction material, that the law is, every time we sin, we kind of betray the Lord. We betray him or deny him or leave him like the disciples did. But as John the Baptizer reminds us, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he did that with his very body and very blood. And thereby, we are granted forgiveness, life, and salvation. That is good news.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You find a link to Law and Gospel under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you.
The headline reads, Sessions announces new Religious Liberty Task Force. Those words, Religious Liberty Task Force, are in typical scare quotes. That's from CNN. We'll find out what the task force is about and why it's needed right after this with Dr. Ryan Anderson. Issues Etc. returned to the air on June 30th after being canceled by the previous leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod during Holy Week of 2008 for a special 10-year anniversary donation of $100 or more. We'll send you a CD of Issues Etc. listeners' top 12 hymns. You can make an anniversary gift online at issuesetc.org or by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Lutherans for Life is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During July, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to Lutherans for Life. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Good for you. Good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.